Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And a lot of eyes placed squarely on the Cincinnati Bengals as we look ahead to the NFL draft coming up next month. Actually, later this month. It's April 1st. It's hard to believe we're finally in April after the long month that was March. And to help us talk more about the Bengals, we bring on Jay Morrison, who covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Jay, hope you and your family are doing well during this time. Thanks for taking time to come on with us today. We got Jay?
Can you hear me?
There he is. There you go. Jay, thanks for taking time to come on with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Glad to be with you guys.
Absolutely. So obviously, Jay, everybody expects Joe Burrow to be the first overall pick for the Cincinnati Bengals once the draft takes place on April 23rd. What kind of a jolt do you think Joe Burrow can give not only the team itself, but this franchise in general in Cincinnati?
Yeah, that's it. It's not so much the team itself. He's going to be as good as he is, a Heisman Trophy, number one overall pick. He's still going to be a rookie when he walks into that building. They are getting younger by the day with some of the moves they're making, but I just think it's going to be more of a jolt to a fan base that's been jumping ship for years. Every year they would bring back Marvin Lewis without a playoff win. More and more people walked away. And then they got the move they wanted last year with Zach Taylor, a new head coach, and things went south with them losing their first 11 games and going 2-14. So the fans that remain are the passionate ones that are never going to jump ship on this team. They've got to work on getting back the average fans and creating some excitement. And really with Joe being an Ohio guy, you can kind of build a fan base on the other side of the state just by bringing a guy like that in.
Jay, obviously with Burrow expected to be the number one overall pick, we know that that's going to be a need that the Bengals have. What are some other needs as you look at this team as they approach the draft taking place later this month?
Yeah, the biggest need going into free agency, really the biggest need they've had the last several years, and they've, for whatever reason, chosen to ignore it, is at linebacker. And they did get a linebacker in free agency. Josh Bynes played for the Ravens last year. He's played for the Lions. He's a guy that's 30. He gives them now two linebackers in that room. It's still a major need. They're going to have to be creative. They're going to draft at least one, probably two, and then they're going to have to go get a handful of undrafted free agent guys and just see who they can make stick. But they've tried to address their lack of ability, their lack of success in the running game by going out and getting a big run stuffer and DJ Reader, and then getting some cornerbacks in McKenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes that are really good tacklers. So they're going to try to mask the deficiency at linebacker that way. The other issue is offensive line. They really need to upgrade every spot on that offensive line, except they hope left tackle. They drafted Jonah Williams in the first round last year. He tore his labrum in OTAs, missed the entire season. He's back and healthy, so they're hoping he can be that anchor at left tackle for the next 10 years, but they need work at every other spot on that line.
Jay Morrison, my colleague at The Athletic, covering the Cincinnati Bengals here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jay, the Cincinnati Bengals spent a lot of money in free agency. The question they need to answer, of course, is what that means for the future of Andy Dalton in Cincinnati in terms of the money that he is expected to make, and of course the expected arrival of Joe Burrow. What do you expect the future to hold for Andy Dalton, and what do you think the Bengals' best avenue to take is with their longtime quarterback?
Yeah, it still looks like it's either cut or trade. It just doesn't make sense to keep a guy around to be a backup quarterback and a mentor and pay him $17.7 million, which is what Andy would be due this year on the final year of his contract. So they wanted to have a trade and trade done by this time. It hasn't happened. They had discussions with the Bears and just couldn't agree to terms on compensation, and the Bears went in a different direction. There's been radio silence from New England. I think they thought that was going to be their most likely trade partner, and the Patriots have just shown no interest whatsoever. They seem content to wait out the Bengals, let them cut Andy, and then they can sign him for $6 or $7 million if that's the direction they want to go and not have to give anything up. They're still holding out hope. When you get into the draft, things happen. If like three quarterbacks fly off the board in the first four or five picks and the Chargers are left holding the bag there. Maybe they offer the Bengals something for Andy Dalton, but if we get through the draft and they haven't traded him, I think it's going to be a situation like we saw in Carolina with Cam Newton, where it's just thank you for your time, but here's your walking papers.
The Bengals placed the franchise tag on wide receiver A.J. Green, injured, missed the entire season last year. What are reasonable expectations for A.J. Green coming back this season?
Yeah, nobody knows. I mean, he's missed 23 of the last 24 games. He's had two surgeries since anybody's seen him play a full game. He had the toe injury that shut down his 2018 season, and then last year the ankle injury on the first hour of the first practice of training camp, and he never played all year. So the Bengals want him here long term, but they don't know what he can do still. He's all of a sudden got this injury history. He's on the wrong side of 30. They want to keep him around, but where do you come up with the money figure to know that a guy is 100% healthy? They haven't even seen him have a full practice under new head coach Zach Taylor. So they want to wait him out and have him prove that he's healthy. He knows this is his last chance at a big payday, and they're so far apart right now that was really the only course of action they could take was to tag him. And AJ said last year that he wouldn't be happy if they tagged him, but he would understand it. He understands the business, and he wasn't going to sit out and skip making $18 million.
Jay, I want to circle back to Andy Dalton real quick, because I think it's interesting, like, to discuss, you know, what's his legacy going to be in Cincinnati, and how much do you think he still has left in the tank if he ends up on another team elsewhere this season?
I do think he can be a very good quarterback with pieces around him. We've seen that. As far as his legacy, I think the further away we get from it, the more appreciation there will be. We kind of saw it last year when they benched him for three games in the middle of the year, coming off the bye week. They started Ryan Finley. It was a disaster. And really, that was the move that kind of cemented them getting the number one overall pick, because I think they win two of those three games if Andy Dalton starts instead of Ryan Finley. And when they brought Andy back after that three-game experiment, there was a lot of, I mean, what fans were in the stadium, there was a lot of outpouring of support. And on social media and just around town, I think people like Andy as a person. He's been great for the city. There's that frustration of never winning a playoff game. And, you know, he got booed at the All-Star game here once the Reds hosted that early in his career. And I just think it was kind of a love-hate relationship to begin with. And everybody's ready to move on. Everybody's ready for Joe Burrow. But I think the fans are going to show their appreciation for Andy for all that he did once this thing finally comes to an end.
Jay, do you think there is a team or situation that best works for Andy Dalton, either in terms of the way that he plays or which team can offer the Bengals the best assets in return?
Yeah, well, I did. I still thought Jacksonville would be a possible landing spot. I don't know how sold they are on Gardner Minshew. They hired Jay Gruden as their offensive coordinator this year. Jay Gruden was the man most responsible for bringing Andy Dalton to Cincinnati in 2011. He was a first-year coordinator. That was the year of the lockout when we were going through a lot of the similar stuff we're going through right now. And Jay Gruden really stood on the table for the Bengals to draft Andy Dalton. But that's a cash-strapped franchise, and they just keep spending. They gave former Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert $15 million over 2 years. So they I don't know if they have room for an Andy Dalton contract on their books. But just looking at the pieces, the depth chart, and the coaches in place down there, that's the place that I thought would be a possible landing spot with the Gruden connection.
Jay, last thing for you here. Obviously, the Bengals announced they have released veteran cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick, spent 8 years with the Bengals. What was your reaction to the news that they were moving on from Dre Kirkpatrick?
What took so long? I mean, we all saw this coming. We were talking to Dre about it on locker cleanout day on December 30th.
Yeah.
He said, oh, no, that's not going to happen. When I've been healthy, I've been one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And he's another one. He's like an Andy Dalton where fans, it's a love-hate relationship. He's never really kind of lived up to that first-round billing. We all saw this coming. I mean, they weren't going to be able to pay him $9.5 million this year, especially after they went out and paid Trey Waynes in free agency. And I just think they had to get some things sorted out on the books, get some things straightened out. But we saw this move coming months ago, and then it finally became official yesterday.
Jay Morrison covers the Cincinnati Bengals for The Athletic, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Jay, thanks so much for taking the time to join us, and hope you and the family stay well during this time here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You guys have a great day.
Absolutely. You too. Jay Morrison, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. When we come back, Adam, we're going to do something very interesting. I want to draft between myself, you, and Marquise Munson. We're going to draft our starting five in the NBA using all-time NBA players. We'll go through a little mini version of a snake draft. That'll be next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.